The Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast is back, everyone, and thanks so much for being with us again this week. It's been a wild one, and my colleague Bob Laguerre is here to help me. I'm your host or co-host, Arthur Arkish, on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Break down all the crazy, frenzied free agent activity, Bob, that started before free agency actually began.
Yeah, not a whole lot left, it doesn't seem like, once it actually starts in a couple hours. And Bears, clearly one of the more active teams, and I think made several moves that are going to make them clearly a better team in 2018, especially on offense, where they've given Mitch Trubisky a ton of weapons to work with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But let's get to the move, Bob, that everyone was most anxious about first. Cody Parkey. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get to the kicker news a little bit later, but Bob hit it on the head. And we should just mention we're recording here on Wednesday afternoon, so we're about, I want to say about 4 hours from the official bell signaling the opening of free agency. But, of course, during the tampering period, the Bears, they took their shots, that's for sure. Bob, I think Allen Robinson will always go down as the headliner from this free agent class, obviously. The former Jaguars Pro Bowler who arrives as the long-awaited Bears number one wide receiver. I guess they had Brandon Marshall, but a little bit less baggage that seems to follow Allen Robinson here, right?
Yeah, significantly less baggage. The only really knock on him is that he suffered a torn ACL last year, and the good news is that it happened so early in the season that there's a real good chance he'll be on the field at the start of training camp and hopefully a contributor from day one. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities, and it's interesting that Cam Meredith is in essentially the same boat because he suffered his ACL injury about 2 weeks before Allen Robinson did. So those guys will be on about the same timeline, I would think, as far as returning to the lineup.
Yeah, that is an interesting dynamic you mentioned, that they're both coming off the knee injury, and injuries in large part have defined the tenure thus far of Ryan Pace, Bob, and I don't know how you feel about it. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast last week, so it's fair game here. I'm really encouraged by the fact that Ryan Pace is—he's absolutely believes. You know, he has the courage in his convictions, and he's looking at Allen Robinson, the player, not Allen Robinson, who happens to be coming off the ACL. I'd be concerned if the GM kind of changed his approach regarding injury guys just because of what he's dealt with in the first 3 years here. What do you think about that?
Sure. I mean, you know, people would probably excuse Ryan Pace for being a little tentative as far as signing a guy like Allen Robinson, given the history with Kevin White. Right. Now, White's a guy who the encouraging thing this year is he's not coming off a lower body injury. It doesn't involve his legs. It's a shoulder type injury. And he's already, if you've seen Instagram pictures, he's already looks like he's ready to go. And there's no doubt it should be 100% throughout the offseason activities for the Bears. But it is good to see that Ryan Pace got back on the horse, saw an opportunity to get a wide receiver one that the Bears need, and right. Mitch Trubisky needs if he's going to live up to his potential. And he's a guy who clearly steps in as number one. And if they get White back and healthy for 16 games, that's a bonus. But I think Allen Robinson is the guy that the whole offense could revolve around in the coming season, and they got him for 3 years. You know, a lot of people kind of were hesitant to predict that he would get a multi-year deal because of the injury, but I think the Bears got him for a pretty good price. And you know, even if he isn't 100% on day one, he's going to be there fairly soon. As long as there are no setbacks, he should be an impact player for them this year.
Yeah, I think so too. Bob, one of the early encouraging signs also emanating from the Bears' free agent activity, or tampering activity, if you will, get away from what I think is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy seeming to kind of click on the types of players they're looking for. We'll get to Taylor Gabriel and the speed element that he brings to the offense here in a minute. But I actually thought it was interesting. Our pal on the beat, Brad Biggs, actually had tweeted 2 nights ago that Sammy Watkins was the Bears' number one free agent target. Watkins ended up going, well, where else but the Chiefs and Matt Nagy's mentor and Andy Reid. Is that a sign potentially that maybe they're kind of looking for the same types of players for that offense, and that maybe Pace and Nagy are clicking and sort of have a same understanding of what exactly they need as they install these new systems?
Yeah, I don't think it's strange to think that these two guys are already more in sync than Pace ever was with John Fox. I think they're like-minded in a lot of areas. I think Ryan Pace knows exactly the kind of player Matt Nagy needs, and he's gone out and got players like that will fit into the system. I think the signing of Chase Daniel is a classic example of that. Nobody really expects to see Chase Daniel on the field, but he got $10 million over 2 years, which is, it seems like, an exorbitant amount to pay for a guy who at best will be a number two. But I think in Chase Daniel, Nagy gets a guy who's a coach on the field, who's even more of a mentor to Mitch Trubisky than Mark Sanchez was last year, because he's played in the Matt Nagy offense. He knows probably more about the offense than any of Matt Nagy's assistant coaches, because he was in it for longer. So it's a great signing, and just like every contract in free agency, you look at it, $10 million for a guy who's thrown three passes in the last 3 years, and it seems like overpriced. But, you know, if he can come in and help with Mitch Trubisky's development in this offense, then it's money well spent for the Bears.
And, Bob, if there was ever a time when, you know, all we need to do is ask the Super Bowl champions about what they spent on their backup quarterback, I'm guessing teams right now, or fans of teams right now, will be more accepting of a little bit higher-priced backup contracts because, of course, Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP. And, interestingly, of course, Chase Daniel was in Philadelphia after that stop in New England. So, excuse me, not after that stop in New England, after that stop in New Orleans. But, all right, so, look, how do you envision Taylor Gabriel and Tariq Cohen on the field together, and how Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich are going to use these guys? It just seems like such a 180 from, 12 months ago when we were hearing about how, Dowell Loggins and John Fox needed to wait for the defense to tell them how to set up their offense.
Yeah, I think this regime clearly buys into the concept that it's a passing game anymore, and it really is exciting to think of Tariq Cohen and Taylor Gabriel, two guys who not only have great straight-line speed but are extremely quick, and you look at those two guys and you throw in Trey Burton, and immediately you think, okay, they're going to stretch the field, not only vertically but horizontally. They've got a lot of speed. This creates a ton of matchup problems for defenses. Trey Burton is not going to really block anybody for you, but he is going to stretch the field. He is a great athlete. He's very versatile. And another case where you think, okay, $32 million, $8 million a year for a tight end who was the number three guy in Philadelphia last year, seems like a lot of money, but as a lot of teams do in free agency, the Bears are betting on potential and thinking that when Trey Burton gets an opportunity to play, he's going to put up much better numbers, which he really did in the four games that Zach Ertz didn't play with the Eagles. Trey Burton put up very impressive numbers, and I think that's kind of what the Bears envisioned from him. I think they clearly were disappointed with the pass-catching production they got from Deion Sims and from Adam Shaheen last year, but this is a guy who comes in and is clearly their number one pass-catching tight end from day one.
At the risk, Bob, and this is a Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. He's Bob Laguerre. I'm Arthur Arkish. We'll be joined here in a little bit by Hub Arkish as we break down all the Bears' free agent activity. And, Bob, at the risk of sounding dated, because I don't know if or when this move will happen, but what do you think the signing of Burton means for Deion Sims' future in Chicago?
You know what? There's a lot of speculation that the Bears will cut that. They owe him $4 million of the $6 million in a couple of days, and that he's going to be trimmed to make room for the new guy. But there's not a team in the NFL that has less than three tight ends. And you've got Shaheen, Sims, and Burton right now. You're obviously not paying Shaheen a lot, even though he's a second-round pick. He's still on his rookie contract. So I don't think they're out of whack as far as that position goes and you know, how you allocate your money. It wouldn't surprise me if Deion Sims is let go, but I think you need to have three in today's game. As we said, there isn't really a tight end in the NFL other than maybe Gronkowski and a couple other guys who do everything. Most teams have their designated, their move tight end, their guy who they can use to pass protection and to help in the running game. That's Deion Sims. I don't know that Deion Sims was ever considered a great weapon in the offense. People may have thought that because the Bears paid him $18 million last year over a three-year deal. I don't think he's ever going to be that guy. Adam Shaheen has a chance to be that guy, but it's another case where, yeah, he moves pretty well for a guy that size, but I don't think Adam Shaheen is the guy that's going to stretch the field for you or stress defenses. Trey Burton is that guy. I think there's room for all three of them to have a significant role on the 2018 Bears offense.
Bob, it feels like where maybe Dowell and Fox were playing checkers last year, the Bears are playing chess now, literally with these chess pieces like Taylor Gabriel and like Trey Burton. I think they're going to be used in ways that really help Mitch Trubisky not only have capable pass catchers, but help him kind of dissect defenses in the way those guys are moved around. Do you sort of view this more fluid offense, this more matchup-based offense as one of the big advantages now with this personnel coming in to help Trubisky's growth in your to?
Absolutely. It gives him options. I think, and Allen Robinson is in his own right a wide receiver one. He's a number one guy. He's a go-to guy. But I think his presence makes Cam Meredith as productive as he was 2 years ago when Alshon Jeffrey lined up on the other side. That year, Meredith had 888 receiving yards and 66 catches. Totally a breakout year for him. I think he's capable of the same numbers if he's got a qualified guy across from him. I don't know that Cam Meredith is ever a wide receiver one, but I think he's a very good number two if he's got a Pro Bowl guy across from him. And I think it opens up the whole field. And, they can stretch the field vertically and horizontally. They've got big play guys. I don't know. Allen Robinson doesn't have great speed, but he has made a ton of big plays over his career just because he's 6'3", 220, a big physical guy. And I think he had a vertical jump of 39 at the combine. So he's a guy who, kind of like Alshon Jeffrey used to do for the Bears, can win those 50-50 balls down the field against most defensive backs.
Yeah, I like the Alshon comparison, Bob, and I think that kind of the way they're both really strong players. So I think some of the explosive plays you see from Robinson, and I believe he had a couple more actually than Sammy Watkins to date in his career, despite missing all of last season and despite not having that true elite number one speed like Watkins. But I think they use that strength and that physicality after the catch to help create big plays too. So. Look, it's super exciting, Bob, but I got to ask, did the Rams set the bar too high last year? I mean, it's recency bias now, and you got the number one scoring offense. They went from number 32 to number one, and it's hard not to see some of the similarities with the big ticket Watkins trade and obviously signing Robert Woods, drafting Cooper Kupp, sort of the overnight overhaul of a young quarterback's arsenal. So is that what Bears fans should expect, that type of sort of meteoric rise in the first year under Nagy?
Yeah, that might be setting the bar a bit high, and the Bears are starting almost from as low as the Rams did, because they were 30th in the NFL in total yards last year. I think they'll make improvements. I don't see them going becoming the number one offense in the NFL, but I think they have a chance to be in the upper half, and that would be a great improvement over what we've seen in recent years. As it did even before the tampering period began, a lot of it depends on Trubisky, but I think he's got a much better chance of success now with the weapons they've given him to work with. And I think it's going to be interesting to see Mitch Trubisky's development in year two, when not only does he have better weapons, but he's in a system that's going to give him more of a chance to show what he can do and to open things up, rather than the, three yards in a cloud of dust offense we saw last year, which became boring after a while and was part of the reason that the Bears struggled to have any big plays. Jordan Howard had a great rookie year. His average per carry dropped by a yard last year because he was facing 8 and 9 man boxes all the time, because the Bears didn't really have a downfield threat in the passing game. This year they do. So I look for Jordan Howard to be even better than he was last year. And I think he deserves a lot more credit for what he did last year than he got, because of the fact that he was their offense in most of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, these are fun times for Bears fans. It was a really exciting day on Tuesday. You know, I think it's fair to caution everyone that the NFC North is really good. And as Bob just kind of did, the Bears have a long way to go here. But it's very encouraging. And it's exciting that even after a lot of misses in free agency in the first 3 years for Pace, he can kind of put together a really concise plan like this and seemingly check off all his boxes. It really is exciting. As far as the upside of this offense heading into 2018. Bob, we're almost out of time here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, but I do want to ask you really quickly about a couple moves on defense. We found out about late last night. Sam Acho is coming back. His brother had the scoop on Twitter, so I think we can trust his source on that one. Sam Acho coming back on a two-year deal to be a reserve outside linebacker and key special teams player. And the bigger one is Prince Amukamara appears to be back in that secondary. I think it's a three-year, $27 million deal. So he does get the multi-year extension he's looking for, and it does appear that Vic Fangio's entire secondary has the opportunity to return intact now.
Yeah, they've got everybody back. We expect a multi-year deal for Kyle Fuller at some point. It's not a done deal. Right. But, you know, Prince Amukamara bet on himself last year in a one-year deal with the Bears and did pretty much what he's done throughout his career. He performed as a better-than-average cover corner who makes very few plays on the ball and isn't involved in many turnovers. Not the end of the world because he's a decent player. The other thing, if he's on the field, he's a solid cornerback. He's, you know, they were the number 10 defense in the NFL last year with Prince Amukamara and that secondary. They return intact. I think maybe they're going to, they could possibly look to upgrade at safety, but even if they don't, they go in to next season with a pretty solid secondary, and I think they're going to make some improvements in the front seven that might make those guys even better. Sam Acho is a guy who has played many roles. He stepped in as a starter last year at outside linebacker when all the guys were hurt. He's always been a special teams contributor, and they need numbers. The Bears need numbers at outside linebacker. They're really down to almost nobody. Leonard Floyd, and that's about it. You throw Acho in there, and I don't think Sam Acho is the guy that the Bears want as a starter, but he's a valuable guy to have as maybe your third outside linebacker, a guy who provides a little bit of a pass rush. That's still, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest need on this team. Sam Acho doesn't fill that need, but he's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and played, you know, I think he's more of a rotational guy, but did play 60% of the snaps last year and had his best pass rushing season, I believe, about 3 sacks, 18 quarterback hits. So, and a good guy to have in the locker room. I think that re-signing makes a lot of sense, especially if the Bears aren't trying to convince themselves he's starter material opposite Floyd, because that's not the case. Just on the way out quickly, Bob, I teased Cody Parkey, but we need to get to the kicker news. Your level of confidence that maybe Ryan Pace has this issue solved, you know, maybe flies under the radar with some, but this has been one of his bigger sticking points so far as an NFL general manager, is the way he's handled the kicking position.
Yeah, that's been a disaster ever since Robbie Gould was let go for reasons that still aren't clear. Cody Parkey hit 91.3% of his field goals last year for the Dolphins, and he's played well for the Browns in the past. It almost makes you wonder why teams let him leave. I don't know if – I don't think he's the greatest long-distance field goal kicker there is, but I think he's made 4 out of 7. He hasn't tried very many, but 4 out of 7 from beyond 50 is not bad. If this guy can come in – and he's only 26. If he can come in and solidify that position, then it's a great signing. You know, you don't have to worry about that for several years. And it's interesting to note that since they walked away from Robbie Gould, he's had 49 of 51 field goals. I don't expect Parkey to do that well, but if he's in the mid-80s, that's definitely a good move for the Bears.
Bob, I heard that it was the presence of Robbie Gould that convinced Jimmy Garoppolo to sign the long-term deal in San Francisco.
That's right. I'm kidding, home values also went up by 15%.
Just twisting the knife a little bit more, I guess. Cody Parkey leaves for the Dolphins, and no team tends to confound more in the offseason than the Miami Dolphins, so maybe we can view that as a positive sign that the Bears are taking them from him and they didn't try to re-sign him. So, guys, there's going to be lots more Bears news. We got to some of the headliner deals. We'll discuss them more with Hub Arkish here shortly on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, but for now, we are going to say goodbye to Bob Laguerre. Make sure you're checking out all his work. He has been cranking at Pro Football BobFootballWeekly.com and check him out on Twitter at Bob Laguerre. We're just getting started, guys, with the off-season coverage. Very excited to keep bringing it to you on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. So thank you very much, Bob. We will talk to you again here very soon.
Okay, take care.
If you're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProFootballWeekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at ProFootballWeekly.com.
Next up on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, it's the one and only Hub Arkus. He is the editor of Pro Football Weekly. You hear him everywhere talking Bears, so he really doesn't need any introduction. Hub, what's going on? What a crazy 24-hour period it was Tuesday into Wednesday as free agency gets ready to kick off.
Well, I think I just heard your mother say, thank God, the one and only. it has been wild. There's no question about that. Not unusual, though. I think since they instituted this legal tampering period, what was it, 2 years ago, we've seen this type of thing. I think teams have figured out, A, that if you've targeted one or two guys, that they need to focus on them and jump on them right away. They need to overpay a little bit up front to make sure that these guys don't end up in conversations with other teams. But for the most part, it certainly has been fun and interesting. And you always wonder, when is it going to happen where one of these two get announced and then somebody changes their mind and it doesn't work out that way. But as we record this, we're still about 4 hours, 3 hours short of the legal signing period. We assume these are all going to happen. And certainly from the Chicago Bears perspective, it's been a really good 24 hours.
Yeah, no doubt. And actually, I think their headliner, Hub, Allen Robinson, I'm not even sure if they did overspend. It looks like it could turn out to be a great bargain, maybe a kind of an ACL discount, if you will. Obviously, we are assuming that Robinson returns to his Pro Bowl form coming off the lost season. But at 3 years and $42 million, I mean, that's I think it's roughly it's Alshon Jeffrey money, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's kind of the player the Bears are hoping that they're going to get here.
Well, what's really interesting to me is the guaranteed money is about $5 million less than what Sammy Watkins got to go to the Chiefs. I believe that Robinson's guarantee is about $25. Watkins got closer to $30. They both did three-year deals. Now, what is interesting about this, though, and this is a trend around the league, I understand why the owners are doing it. I don't understand why the players are doing it, is all these three-, four-year deals. I mean, if I'm Minnesota and I want to get Kirk Cousins to be my franchise quarterback, why would I let him get it back at free agency in 3 years, especially with this contract all guaranteed? You look at Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins at the age of 27, when most players are getting to free agency for the first time, they're going to get there the second time. And so I think that is the reason that there's a little bit of a discount here as far as why Robinson, who to me is by far the preferable choice to Watkins, got less guaranteed money. I think the other thinking here is that, 24, 25, 26, 27, they're going to play out these deals anyway. So the 42 becomes almost as important as the 25 guarantee. At the end of the day, they probably saved a couple bucks because he is coming off an ACL, and it's not nearly the risk that it was, even 5 years ago, let alone 15, 20 years ago. But there's still some risk involved, and so that probably created a little bit of a discount too.
One theory on this, and Hub, I just want to hit on it briefly because we got a lot of other Bears news to discuss. But I believe there are 3 years left under the current collective bargaining agreement. You think that may? I don't think that's coincidence, is it? The spike of
Well, no, but again, Yeah, but I'm not sure when it comes to these player contracts. There's going to be massive change from the. Well, let me rephrase that. The players certainly hope there's going to be massive change in the next CBA. I wouldn't count on it if they've still got the same moron as their executive director. But that's a different story for a different time. You know, at the end of the day, is the salary cap going to change dramatically? Are they going to get back the basically 3 or 4 percentage points of the total football revenue that they gave up? No. You know, they might get back 1 or 2 points. I don't know that they're going to get back anything if they start to focus on other issues like player discipline and player safety and health after their careers. So it's too far out to predict right now. I think in this case it was more about you know, players are betting on themselves a little bit more. And with these younger free agents, the guys like an Allen Robinson and a Sammy Watkins, the chance to get back into free agency while they're still just hitting their prime, you know, that there's a benefit to that. There's a price with that too. All of that said, I think you're absolutely right. You know, because we can't predict the future, everybody knows that the CBA expires after 2020. So why not have that be a good time to be a free agent? You know, and whatever comes of the new agreement, all these kids that are doing these 3-year deals are going to get a chance to take advantage of it immediately.
So Hub, Taylor Gabriel, we talked about Allen Robinson. Trey Burton comes in too. I think the Bears did overspend on Trey Burton, but it's probably the cost of doing business. It's remarkable to see all the resources that Ryan Pace has dumped into the tight end position in the past year, but he does have three different types of players, I suppose, with those three big investments. So I understand all of the moves, but I have to chuckle. Even the premise of wasting your time trying to sign Taylor Gabriel over the past couple years when you had the offense you had and the lack of creativity and innovation that you did, is that kind of a, I don't know, it's sort of a statement of where how far the Bears have come just schematically, just in the way they're going to try and attack opponents to even kick the tires on someone like Taylor Gabriel, who's arguably kind of a gadget player, but he can certainly be a dynamic one if you use him right.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear about something, just something you mentioned. The Bears badly overpaid for Trey Burton, but I don't have a problem with it because, and then I'm going to connect this to your Gabriel question in a second, they have a ton of money to spend. You have to spend to the minimum. They don't have any of their own guys that they have to worry about looking to re-up for at least another year, most of them 2 or 3 years, and you don't even know if you have any that you're going to want to re-up. So, you know, one thing that you have to say about Ryan Pace, regardless of what you think of how he's, you know, evaluated talent in free agency, is they've done an excellent job of managing the cap. And this is actually it's to the Bears organizational credit, because even before they got here, you know, you've got Cliff Stein, who's now, I believe, the general counsel, but was one of the great cap guys in the league. And then Ryan brought in his own people. They do a really nice job of managing the cap. So even if you do overpay, you know, good for Trey Burton. I think every one of these kids should get every penny they absolutely can. Now, where the connection comes is I think that they've done pretty reasonable deals, as near as I can tell, a good deal with Robinson, a reasonable deal with Gabriel, Cody Parkey, Chase Daniels isn't a bad deal. And I described in a column the other day, Trey Burton, he's not really a tight end, he's a chess piece, and I think Taylor Gabriel is exactly the same thing. You know, you're not looking at just a wide receiver, and if he's our third wide receiver, what are we paying for him? These guys were cherry-picked as special weapons to fit what Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich want to do. They are perfect for it, and I think Gabriel's a fascinating pick. You know, at the end of the day, there's a handful of guys that have run under 4.3 in the 40-yard dash that are in the NFL who have the football skills to go at that speed, and Gabriel is one of them. This is a guy who, while he's never piled up big catch totals, averaged 16.5 yards per catch on 36 of them in that Super Bowl season, and he took one out of every six. He took six of them to the end zone, so he's a really interesting piece. Arthur, at the end of the day, this is all a huge bet on Mitch Trubisky. It was a bet last year when they went and got him. Now with what they've seen in their 12 starts, they think that they can afford to bet more. At the end of the day, if there's anything Bears fans should be concerned about, it's that Mitch Trubisky is not who the Bears are selling him as yet. I'm not saying he can't be, but they're way ahead of themselves in all this confidence. They've suddenly gotten Mitch Trubisky, and they're backing that up by giving him the tools he's going to need to be successful.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess, though, I also kind of view it as a bet on Matt Nagy, because look what happened. Let me put it this way. If Taylor Gabriel turns into the roughly 625 or so all-purpose, well, not all-purpose, yards from scrimmage player, seven scrimmage touchdowns he was 2 years ago with the Falcons, Is it say more about Matt Nagy as a play caller, or does it say more about Steve Sarkisian's failures to do what Kyle Shanahan did 2 years ago last season with Gabriel?
Both. You know, I mean, I don't think you can have one without the other. And again, this is what's interesting about it, and this is why you're seeing people pull out the Kyle Shanahan comparisons. Shanahan, one of the really bright young offensive minds in the NFL, along with Sean McVay, and analysts and Bears fans are hoping that Matt Nagy's the next in that line. And so you look at Gabriel. That's why I'm describing these guys as chess pieces. So I think, you know, you've nailed it exactly. That said, Steve Sarkisian was not able to get that Falcons offense going the way that Shanahan did, with many of the same weapons, and so that has to be to his discredit, regardless of how they fit. You know, they finished fairly strong, but still not strong on offense. They just got a lot better on defense. So there's no question that the Falcons have got to be rethinking their offensive coordinator situation.
So the Bears now, Hub, you know, last year at this time, well, not at this time, but once we got to September, October, you really couldn't find three or four pass catchers that you really wanted on the field for Mitch Trubisky. Are they in a scenario now where they could potentially, I know it would be a good problem to have, but are going to have to figure out which are the best three or four pass catchers to have on the field? You know, just trying to, I'm kind of picture how Gabriel and Cohen are going to work together, and how potentially maybe Burton and Shaheen work together. You've now got Robinson. You hope Cam Meredith makes a full recovery. It's just an absolute sea change that seemed to happen overnight. It really could create a good type of conflict for the Bears.
It can, but again, this is where analysts and Bears fans have to be careful, because as exciting as this is, and I'm excited, I'm a Bears fan, I think everybody should be, but the only known quantity here is Allen Robinson. And even he, we have to remember, had that disappointing 2016 after 15, right. before the ACL. Now, I think a lot of what happened in 16 was due to Blake Bortles and other things going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but at the end of the day, the prospects are outstanding, but this is much like what I just said about Mitch Trubisky. You know, we've got tremendous hope in all these players, and if they become the players that we think they should, then yes, the Bears are going to have the next dynamic offense in the NFL. Now, they got work to do on the offensive line, and one of the things that's happening in free agency is that we're seeing that draft board get set now. You know, we're seeing what the priorities are going to be, and let's not forget that as we record this podcast, legal free agency hasn't even started yet. We're still a few hours away, so they can do more there too. I'm concerned about where the offensive line is at right now, but they have the ability to shore that up as well. And if they do, this has the ability to be a really dynamic offense. You know, Arthur, what's interesting about everything they're doing here is that, you know, Matt Nagy, as long as he wins at least 4, 5, 6 games, this is the honeymoon year. Everybody gets one. Everybody's entitled to one. But the interesting dynamic here is it ain't going to work that way for Ryan Pace. If this team does not win at least 8 or 9 games this year, and if a lot of these free agents don't work out, the Wolves are going to be at the door. And so, you know, you've got Pace, you know, trying to keep expectations low along with Nagy, but at the same time accelerating things, because I'm sure he understands, you know, that he's in year 4 and this team has to show signs of being competitive right now in order for Bears fans to accept him as the answer in the front office.
And what do you think? Just a couple minutes left here with Hub Arkish on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. He's Hub. I'm Arthur. We're talking about all the Bears movement and as free agency gets ready to get going. Your thoughts on the defense? You also wrote in your column, you alluded to all the excitement on offense, but maybe tempered it just a tad by saying that there's suddenly some new holes on defense. We've since seen that Prince Amukamara is coming back, Sam Macho is coming back, but you weren't too thrilled to see a certain linebacker go out the door, and I know you have your concerns about the pass rush, Hub.
Well, I mean, to me, Sam Macho is a nice player, and I think it's good that he's coming back. And I think the Amukamara signing is a big deal, because now you can argue you can still get better at cornerback, but you're set at cornerback. We saw that last year. But the Bears made a quantum leap last year rushing the passer. They went from one of the weakest in the league to 6th in the NFL in quarterback sack percentage. And now, you know, a lot of that production is either injured, missing, or gone. You know, Pernell McPhee goes, Willie Young goes, Lamar Houston is a free agent. You know, you've got Jarrell Freeman is gone. Christian Jones is gone. The cupboard is bare at linebacker. Now, I really like Danny Trevathan, and I like what I've seen so far of Leonard Floyd. But Leonard Floyd is another one of these guys who has shown only prospects, not finished package. And in 2 years with the Bears, he's played just 12 and 10 games. Danny Trevathan, I think, can be a Pro Bowler, but in 2 years with the Bears, he's played just, 9 and 12 games, you know, and that's it. I like Nick Kwiatkowski, but he's going to be a two-down linebacker, and you got nothing on the edges. Now, bringing Acho back is good. He's a dependable guy, but he's not a starter. He's a rotational player on the outside. And I think it is foolish to assume that Akiem Hicks can give you 7 or 8 sacks every year. I think he's a great football player. I think he should have gone to the Pro Bowl last year, and I think he probably is still ascending. But interior linemen don't usually get to the quarterback that often. And so this is a team that desperately needs pass rush, and they need it to come from the outside linebacker spot. And that has become, I would think now, the number one priority for this team if offensive guard isn't.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that. And just a couple minutes here, a couple more minutes with Hub. And what's your big takeaways from around the league? We're going to do a separate Pro Football Weekly podcast, but so maybe we'll keep it limited to the NFC North. Your thoughts on either Kirk Cousins seemingly getting ready to sign with the Vikings or the Packers and their rookie general manager cutting Jordy Nelson. The Lions pick up Christian Jones in addition to Devin Kennard from the Giants. What jumps out at you about what the rest of the division's done thus far?
Well, I think, you know, right now the Bears are well out in front in terms of making the most moves that have the chance to improve them the most. I think at the end of the day, Kirk Cousins was the prize in this free agency group, and the fact that the Vikings have landed him is great. But let's be honest, how much better is he going to be for him than Case Keenum was last year? I think the concern was that Case Keenum can't do that year in and year out. Cousins probably can. Yes, Cousins has a bigger arm. They're going to open it up and get down the field a little bit more, get more vertical in their passing game. And so I think it's a great signing for them, but how much, you know, how improved are they over last year? I'm not sure that you can argue that it's a huge improvement based on the performance they got from Keenum. I look at the Detroit Lions, and I think those are two excellent moves. They clearly have targeted their greatest need, which is outside and inside linebacker. My guess is Jones will play in the middle with Jared Davis on one side, and that they'll bring in another one, or maybe Kirkland plays in the other spot, or Denard, I'm sorry, plays in the other spot. So those are nice moves, but they're not huge. The team that did themselves the most favors other than the Bears is the Packers. It's painful to see a guy like Jordy Nelson get released, but it had to happen based on what his contract was. It's interesting that Randall Cobb is still there. And we'll see. I would not rule out Jordy Nelson ending up back in Green Bay if, in fact, he makes the rounds and finds out there isn't a better deal elsewhere. But at the end of the day, adding Jimmy Graham, who's very overrated at this point in his career, and he's 32 years old, yeah, but is still a huge red zone target who can also split the middle and take the top off the defense by splitting a seam. And then on Muhammad Wilkerson, if they get the player from 12 through 15, they got the best five technique in football. Now, if they get the guy who hasn't shown up the last couple of years, they got a problem. But I got to believe with a move like this, with the comeuppance of being cut in your hometown, with the desire to, you know, to have this not be the end and to resurge in a heritage franchise, I think Wilkerson, I haven't seen the details. I'm not sure what they paid for him yet, but I think that's a really great signing for them.
Wilkerson's 1 year, up to $8 million. He reunites with his former defensive coordinator and Mike Pettine. I love the move. I'm wondering, though, about Jordy Nelson. He had a career-low 9.1-yard catch average. Everyone knows that. Seems like people are glossing over the fact Jimmy Graham also had a career-low 9.1-yard catch average. They're both great red zone weapons, but Graham's, I guess, a year younger and doesn't have the more recent knee.
Yeah, I the one thing I would keep in mind about Nelson, though, is look who was throwing to him.
Making my point even more, huh? But that's what I'm saying. 2 years ago, he's the comeback player of the year. Last year, he fell off a cliff and then got cut with Brett Hundley.
Right. So what I'm Right, so I understand why they released him, but I thought you were referring to my suggestion that they may still bring him back or that somebody else will give
him
a shot.
No, I don't think he's coming back. If you read the Packers statement on his release, it sounded like there was some finality to it, but who knows?
Well, you have to do that when you let a legend go. I mean, you don't want to leave the door open and leave people wondering. And again, I'm not predicting that he's coming back, but we'll see what happens. I can guarantee you that if he's still available on July 15th and appears healthy, and Aaron Rodgers makes the case, that they would at least consider it if he would take a lot less money. And again, we don't know if Randall Cobb's still going to be there at that point. But the Jimmy Graham thing, yeah, I think Graham is overrated, but I think that's the perfect spot. I never really bought that he was going back to New Orleans, even though everybody kind of suggested that that was a likely possibility. So this could be a resurgence in his career. I mean, he never was expected to block, and he's not going to do that in Green Bay, but right. That's not what they want him for. What's interesting about the Packers, though, is I think they do have problems on the interior of that offensive line and even with those tackles. I mean, is Brian Bulaga ever going to be healthy? So they got work to do, but your original question on free agency outside of the Bears, I'd say the Packers have had the second best 24 hours. Nothing wrong with what the Vikings and Lions have done, but I don't think they've impacted their club as much as the Bears and the Packers have.
All right, there you have it. He is Hub Arkish. I am Arthur Arkish. This is the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. One more reminder to check us out on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe over there. Leave us a rating and a review while you're at it. And guys, if there's more big news, we'll be back with another big podcast breaking it down. So stay close on profootballweekly.com/Bears. Thanks so much for being with us today, and enjoy free agency as it gets underway. Thank you too, Hub, for being with us. Appreciate it.